Josh and Joyce for that beautiful music. And I have to tell you all that whenever I hear that song, and particularly when Josh sings it, because he does it so beautifully, I think of my grandmother. My grandmother used to line us up in these little rocking chairs that she had that were just the size of her grandchildren, and we would watch Billy Graham on television. And she only got 3 television stations. You know, that was back in the day when you had an antenna and just what you got's what you got. And they were all the Knoxville, Tennessee television stations. And they, all 3 of them, had Billy Graham on. And we'd line up, our grandmother would just sit there and we'd listen to that music, and it was just glorious. Today is the 3rd Sunday in Easter. And we're still here celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our scripture passage today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And I'm again going to be reading from this new version, this new translation of the Bible that I have discovered, the New English Translation. So let's go to the scriptures and see what God may be saying to us today. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new is coming. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's trespasses against them. And he has given us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his plea through us. We plead with you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Apostle Paul was having a hard time with the church at Corinth. Corinth was a big city in Greece. It was a big city church. And Paul wasn't meeting their expectations as an evangelist. If you'll remember, Paul worked for a living, kind of a blue-collar guy, tent maker. And he didn't ask the church for money. Some other churches in other places had supported Paul and his ministry, but not the church at Corinth. And he hadn't come to visit them like he'd originally planned. And they thought Paul wasn't putting them high enough on their priority list. So all in all, the church at Corinth thought Paul was kind of disrespecting them. And to top it all, Paul wasn't the best public speaker making the rounds at the time. All in all, they were a little embarrassed about Paul at Corinth. Now, Paul writes back to the Corinthians telling them they've got it all wrong. Not only do they have it wrong about him, but they've got it wrong about the values that they're living into and the standards that they're applying. They're still living under that old human value system instead of embracing the new value system of God through Christ. And Paul reminds them very pointedly that they have an assignment, that they are to be ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors for God, and to share the message of reconciliation. Now, what did Paul mean by being an ambassador, and what is this thing about reconciliation? Let's talk first about what it means to be an ambassador. An ambassador is a representative from one country or government or king to another. They're a very trusted person, entrusted with carrying the words of the sovereign to whomever the sovereign wants to hear those words. And they have to be accurate words, an accurate reflection of that sovereign's will. The ambassador is entrusted with keeping open a channel of communication between the king and the person that the king wants to talk with. An ambassador lives inside a foreign country, but is not a citizen of that country. An ambassador lives by the values of the home country, not the foreign country. The ambassador stays loyal to the home country and not to the country where he or she lives. People look at ambassadors and watch them and listen to them, and they draw conclusions about the home country based on how that ambassador acts. So the conduct of an ambassador is very important. People draw conclusions about the home country based on what they see the ambassador do or say, the ambassador's conduct. An ambassador's job is a hard job, but it's also a dangerous job because people treat ambassadors directly in correlation to what they think about the ambassador's country. Some ambassadors are even murdered. Now, whether you realize it or not, the church is an ambassador for God in this world. Whether you realize it or not, you represent God. Now, I was reminded of a story told in a book by a well-known preacher and author, Max Lucado. Many of you have probably read his books. The story's about a young girl who worked for a very large corporation that happened to be owned by her father. She was a good worker. She went to work on time. She stayed late. She did dirty jobs and unpleasant tasks. She never complained. She was generally well-liked and appreciated by the other employees. Now, these other employees had never met the big boss, but they drew conclusions about him through her work. And they believed that the boss valued them as employees and cared for his company and the workplace. Now, of course, this has to be contrasted with another young woman who also worked for her father. And this young woman didn't come to work on time. And she wasn't all that good-natured. She's kind of a sharp-tongued girl. And she whined and she moaned and she complained. And the other employees in this company had never met her father either. And quite frankly, they didn't want to. They had drawn conclusions about their big boss, about what his values were and what he thought about the company. Now, the first young girl was a good ambassador. The second girl, not so much. Now, how did we become ambassadors for God? How did we get this weighty position? Well, Paul tells us that our allegiance has been changed. Look back at verse 17 here. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. Our allegiances have changed. We are now new creatures in a new kingdom, in a new community. Christ didn't die just so our sins could be forgiven. Christ was resurrected so we could live in newness of life. We're not just saved from something. We are saved for something, for a purpose. Christ's resurrection has meaning now. It's not the sweet by and by. Yes, there will be a sweet by and by. But Christ's resurrection defines our roles as citizens of a new kingdom, representatives of a new king, ambassadors of a new way of living, a newness of life that we are to embrace now. Jesus' kingdom that has come but is not yet fully realized. Now, our message is a message of reconciliation. Reconciliation. What exactly is reconciliation? Reconciliation is a bookkeeping word. We think of it frequently as being sort of a feeling of getting along together. But really, it's a bookkeeping word. It's a financial word. A bookkeeper reconciles records, one set of books mirroring another set of books. For example, if you use your debit card today to buy something that costs $100, you are authorizing your bank to take $100 out of your bank account. and you are authorizing a store to receive $100 for whatever you purchased. And the bank's records and the store records mirror each other. They show one shows the money coming out and the other shows the money coming in. So that is said to be reconciled. To be an ambassador of reconciliation means that we are to live so that our lives mirror the values of God. And we're to share that message with others. And it's possible to do that through Jesus Christ. And to do that with any credibility at all, to share that message, we've got to be like that first young girl, to mirror her father's values of care and concern. And you know, that's tough to do. Because Christ's values are hard values. Christ's values are loving your enemies as yourself. Christ's values are blessing others. Christ's values are sending rain on the just and the unjust. Christ's values are turning the other cheek. Christ's values are picking up a cross. Now we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and it's a struggle, but the Holy Spirit is there and with us. And the struggle to reflect God's values, to be this ambassador in this foreign country, in this fallen world, only lasts for a short period of time. And isn't it funny how if you're having to deal with a problem or a struggle or a hard time in your life, if you know it's only going to be a short period of time, it's easier to deal with? Have you all ever remodeled a part of your house? Several years ago, Ron and I remodeled our kitchen. You know, they came in and they destroyed our house. They tore down walls, they turned off our electric, they turned off our water. Everything they ripped out, they stacked in the front yard, including all of my old appliances. The neighbors were just appalled to see all that trash in the front yard. When you breathed in, you're breathing in that drywall dust. And I don't even want to tell you what happened when you blew your nose. I mean, it was disgusting and awful and miserable. But it was also so freeing. You know, the kids would come over. I wouldn't have to cook. We'd just order pizza or whatever. People would show up, and I didn't worry about the house being dirty. I'd just come on in, look around. Let me show you my remodel. I didn't have to clean. It was great. And, you know, at night I would sneak into the kitchen and look after they'd all gone, and I'd see a new cabinet that had been put on the wall or something that had been painted or some new appliance still in a grate. And I would think, oh, this kitchen is going to be so nice. I can't wait till this kitchen is done. And it made me happy. Even though I was living in the mess and the yuck and the dirt and my neighbors were appalled at all the trash stacked up, I was happy. I could see the vision of that new kitchen coming together. And I knew what the future was going to be like in that new kitchen. Now I know that's not a perfect analogy. And I know it is so hard to go through things to try to conform our lives to the values that God wants us to mirror. But I kind of like that kitchen remodel. It lets me know that at the end of my struggle, there's going to be a great day, a great ending. And that was the problem with the church at Corinth. They didn't get that. They didn't get the vision yet. They didn't want all the mess. And they certainly didn't want their neighbors laughing at them because Paul was such an embarrassment. You know, these people were Christians. These people were the church at Corinth. Paul loved them. He had spent months, well over a year, with the church at Corinth. He was invested with them. And yet he's having to beg them to be reconciled to God and beg them to be reconciled to him because they had not shed their old worldly values. That comforts me in a weird way to know that a church like Corinth that had Paul, the Apostle Paul, as their founder, struggled to embrace God's values and set aside those worldly values. It's comforting to realize that the church throughout the ages has struggled to do this. But I don't want to have us today take too much comfort in that. Because in the very next verse, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, Paul warns the Corinthian church, "Do not accept the grace of God in vain." Do we as a church ever do that? Do we get comfortable in our religion? We start enjoying our blessings and falling back into our old ways of doing things? Judging people by those worldly values instead of God's values? Looking at people the way that we just sort of instinctively do instead of looking at them as a child of God, created in God's image? Do we ever accept the grace of God in vain? Let's honestly take a look at the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves. We say we love our enemies. We say we live sacrificially. We say we love our neighbors as ourselves. But can anybody outside these walls take a look at us and see that we live any differently from the people in our neighborhoods and who live all around us? If you ask any one of us today, do we live in a sinful and fallen world? We'd say yes, absolutely. If we know that, then why do we try so hard to fit in and look like everybody else? Now, I can't tell you in what area of your life that you struggle with this. I can only tell you where I struggle. And I can tell you that whenever I have a hard heart, that is a warning to me that I need to pay attention. There's something about my hardness of heart that tells me that I'm in a situation or a circumstance where I'm protecting Francis. Where Francis feels unloved. Where Francis feels disrespected. Where Francis feels ignored or unheard or maybe even afraid. Where do you feel hardness of heart? Has a hard heart ever revealed Christ's love to another person? Now let me interject something here that's very important, because I do not want to be misunderstood. Within the sound of my voice and sitting in this room today are people who are hurting, who are struggling, who are in hard times in their life right now because of loneliness or depression or financial stress or for personal illness or family illness, depression, addiction. This is not what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. And this is not what you should be hearing in my message today. That is not the struggle to apply God's values that we're talking about. In fact, if you are one of these people that's having that type of personal struggle right now, we, your church family, as ambassadors for Christ, should be helping you. And if we're not, we're failing to live into the image of Christ that we're called to do. And you need to reach out and let us know so we can come around you in love and support you. So do not leave this church thinking that the struggles that I'm addressing right now have anything to do with that. We're supposed to be carrying each other's burdens as a church family. So let's do that. Because that is being ambassador for Christ. You know, we're called a royal priesthood. And in our faith tradition, we call this the priesthood of all believers, with Jesus Christ as our high priest. We stand in that middle space as a church between the divine God who wants to connect with a fallen humanity. God trusts us. He has empowered us to live between two worlds, to see the vision of the kingdom of God, and to share that vision with a fallen world. Because of Christ's resurrection, we are empowered to live as if the kingdom is here now. Have you ever thought that your eternal life has already started? Christ's resurrection gave us eternal life. Now, I can't explain to you the process of death, but I know that it is only a transition. We are alive in Christ eternally. So let's go spread that great news, the joy of that victory, and through reflection of the image of God, let's share Christ with the world and be ambassadors of reconciliation. Amen.